Wisława Szymborska could be called the national poet of Poland. The world heard her name in 1996 when she was awarded a Nobel Prize for Literature. Szymborska was 88 when she died this week. In her long life, she lived through Poland's turmoil, Hitler's invasion, World War, the Holocaust, a communist dictatorship, and Solidarity's fight for freedom. From those experiences came hundreds of poems. Her poems are contemplative and speak of darker things, but are also simple and often playful. To learn more, we reached Lawrence Weschler. He covered Poland in the 1980s and 90s as a staff writer for The New Yorker magazine. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. You were, as was all of Poland, it seems, you know, a great fan of Wisława Szymborska's work.
Right.
You've written about her in a couple of your books, including your most recent, Uncanny Valley. What was it about her poetry that drew you to her?
She was deeply profound, but she carried her gravity lightly. She was extremely clear. She was very, very modest, was quite shocked to have gotten the Nobel Prize. The story goes that, you know, she lived in a one-bedroom apartment, groaning with books in Krakow, and suddenly gets this prize and goes to Stockholm and is given the top suite in the fanciest hotel, an entire city block of a suite. She spent the night before giving the Nobel speech sleeping in the bathtub of the bathroom because it was the only room she could figure out how to turn on the lights. She was just a clean gleam of a human being. And I mean, what one should do is just look at her poetry. It's so wonderful.
Read us a poem or a part of a poem.
One of them I always love is Maybe All This. Maybe all this, by which she means everything, maybe all this is happening in some lab under one lamp by day and billions by night. Maybe we're experimental generations poured from one vial to the next, shaken in test tubes. And she goes on, and she then says that maybe we're not of that much interest, or maybe they'd only look at us during wars or migrations. And then she says, maybe just the opposite. They've got a taste for trivia up there. Look, on the big screen, a little girl is sewing a button on her sleeve. The radar shrieks. The staff comes at a run. What a darling little being with its tiny heart beating inside it. How sweet its solemn threading of the needle. Someone cries enraptured, quick, get the boss. Tell him he's got to see this for himself.
Hmm.
Or another one. Here's an opinion on the question of pornography. This was written in 1978 at the midst of the communist regime. There's nothing more debauched than thinking. This sort of wantonness runs wild like a windborne weed on a plot laid out for daisies. Nothing's sacred for those who think. Calling things brazenly by name, risque analyses, salacious syntheses, frenzied rakish chases after the bare facts. And then she goes on, it's shocking the positions, the unchecked simplicity with which one mind contrives to fertilize another. Such positions the Kama Sutra itself doesn't know. She has a great line where she says that she has this great line where she says that degenerate daughters corrupt their fathers.
Now, but that is interesting, though. You picked that poem because she first wrote back in the early 50s, first was published, when Poland was still under Stalinist rule,
Right. And she has said that she was a true believer, as many, many people were at that time. Her first book of poetry was Socialist Realist, but she was not unlike very, very many people in Poland. I mean, the three great Polish poets of this generation, all of whom should have won Nobel Prizes, and only two of whom did, she and Czesław Miłosz won, but both Miłosz and she had a certain kind of communist dalliance at the very beginning. But anyway, just the flame of subjectivity runs completely counter to a totalitarian regime, and in that she was deeply, deeply loved.
She wrote what you might say a few poems, a relatively few. Mm-hmm. And then after winning the Nobel Prize in 1996, she stopped writing for years. What was that all about?
Well, everybody called it the disaster, the Nobel disaster. I mean, she wasn't asking for it. She wasn't expecting it. And it just kind of knocked her cold for a little while. She then revived again, but I think she was thrown by all that attention and for that matter, even the money. I mean, she lived an extremely modest life, and
she wrote, she cherished solitude, is what she said.
Private, solitude and privacy, and and intimacy. And it's out of that intimate core that all this poetry comes.
One of her most cherished and famous poems is A Cat in an Empty Apartment,
right.
Which I think really goes how she was able to write about death.
Yeah. She wrote about mortality when her longtime companion died. She wrote a poem about the death of someone and the absence left as seen from the point of view of the cat. But here's another one called Nothing's a Gift. Nothing's a gift. It's all on loan. I'm drowning in debts up to my ears. I'll have to pay for myself, with myself, give up my life for my life. Here's how it's arranged. The heart can be repossessed, the liver too, and each single finger and toe. And then she goes on to mention everything else. The inventory, infinitely detailed, implies we'll be left not just empty-handed, but handless too. I can't remember where, when, and why I let someone open this account in my name. And we call the protest against this state of affairs the soul. And it's the only item not included on the list.
Lawrence Wechsler, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Lawrence Wechsler remembering poet Wisława Szymborska. She died Wednesday in Poland at the age of 88. Lawrence Wechsler covered Poland for The New Yorker magazine. And from NPR News, this is Morning Edition, directed by Van Williamson, Melissa Yeager-Miller, and Travis Larchuk. Our production staff includes Jess Gittner, Asma Khalid, Kevin Leahy, Steve Monroe, Vince Pearson, Leah Scarpelli, Selena Simmons-Duffin, Lindsay Toddy, and Ashley Westerman, with Ben Bergman at NPR West. Our executive producer is Madalie Kosicka. Our executive editor of news programming is Ellen McDonald. Morning Edition's theme music was written by B.J. Lederman and arranged by Jim Pugh. I'm Renee Montaigne.